Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is your host, Daniel Jones. Welcome, and we're going to be joining our guest, Chuck Murphy. Chuck Murphy, for 20 years, has been helping people on their purpose. He's a licensed metaphysician, spiritual counselor, and medium. Chuck Murphy will show you how the divine interacts with you, your loved ones, you wish to contact, connect with those that have made the transition. Chuck is a spiritualist and a spiritist ordained minister through the International Metaphysical Ministry. He also performs weddings, commitment, and memorial services along with baptism services. Chuck's mission is to help others experience the love and guidance of spirit and realize their true beauty and unique place in creation. So with that, I'm going to introduce Chuck to get him online. And I met Chuck at a Satori meeting. It was in Fort Worth. We had a prediction night there with a few others in a panel. And essentially, we got together, and the panelists shared their predictions. And a lot of the different information that came from Chuck I found very interesting, and I thought we'd get him on here so that we could talk a little bit about the different predictions that he made. And in doing so, we came across a few different things that we're going to be discussing during this show that deal with issues such as the environment, certain states that could be dealing with earthquakes, specifically here in Texas, and then we're going to be dealing with some other, perhaps even more paranormal issues, such as UFOs or even some cryptids, it seems like, some political things as well, such as the campaign for presidency. We're also going to be dealing with some other information around the world as well. So let's see if you've got him on the line. Chuck, you with us?
I am there, sir.
Wonderful. Glad you could
you,
be on.
You can hear me. Good.
Okay. Yes. So,
excellent.
Just give you a little introduction. And is there anything you'd like to share a little bit about yourself for those who may not be as familiar?
Well, I'm from Dallas. That's where we have our practice, although I do readings kind of all over the country via Skype or the telephone. I started doing this professionally probably just a little bit before 1990, 1991, and I've been doing it ever since. I actually have a background in radio and television, which is kind of funny to come out of that into spiritual and paranormal stuff, but that's where I come from. And let's see, what else? I'm a psychic medium. I do just your standard readings, mediumship and psychic readings. I work a lot of fairs around the area. I also work one in New Orleans and one in El Paso, outside of the Dallas area. We have a paranormal investigation team, and we do spiritual investigations and clearings all around the area. What else? I'm married. I got 5 kids and 11 grandkids. So I'm getting too old for this sort of thing. Not really.
Well, it does sound like you're very active in everything that you're involved with, and it's a very commendable service to be able to offer for others.
It does keep us very busy, and surprisingly enough, well, maybe not surprisingly enough, seriously enough, there is a huge there's a huge need for it. Most people would be honestly surprised at how many people out there are having spiritual, experiences that they have no way of understanding what's going on, and, really need some help. It's really amazing, and especially in the last 2 or 3 years, there seems to be a big shift going on energetically with many, many, many more people finding that the, and I don't want to start any arguments here, but sort of the standard church paradigm or model, regardless of what faith you're in, just isn't working for people anymore. And they're looking for more. They're looking for, bigger answers. So,
sure. I think it's something a lot of people, as you said, are experiencing here in the last several years, that are really kind of finding out more about themselves spiritually rather than just, like you're saying, just going to church or a kind of a routine basis that is a bit more personal for their own development. I think it's really great that
exactly
the ability to come to you or whoever else, you know, and especially around here, you know, in the Bible Belt.
I mean, it doesn't, I have to admit, it doesn't always play that well. I mean, honestly, you know, and we get a few detractors, everybody, even though I will say at least I've been very lucky and blessed in that respect. I've never really had people picketing outside my door or whatever. You know, it's not everything
sure.
like that. But I do have some people that think, you know, I think they're pretty convinced I'm going to hell, and that's that. But, you know, God love them. I'm not here to judge. I respect their position. I just, you know, honestly, I just ask them to respect where I'm at, you know. I don't agree with you, so let's just agree that we don't agree. And it shouldn't affect them any, and, you know, I'll deal with what I got to deal with.
Yeah. Well, as we were saying earlier, I was just mentioning that we had met over at Tory, which is a meeting in Fort Worth, and they were having
right.
their annual prediction night at the beginning of the year. And
right.
There were a few other panelists, and you got pretty much straight to the point with a lot of your predictions, and I thought they were well-rounded. You had a variety of different things you touched upon, which I thought were really intriguing, and so we're going to kind of discuss a few things that you brought up as far
sure,
as predictions for this coming year. And so if you could tell us a little bit about what you figured might be happening within the year to come.
Well, I think one of the predictions, and if you hear me stumbling around, it's because I swore to you that I'd have those when I came on the air today with you. And I think one of the spirits has taken them. I'm going to blame it on them because then we can't prove it and I'm safe. But anyway, they've actually literally disappeared. I have no idea where they went. Anyway,
no worries.
I do.
I've got a little transcript of some things you'd mentioned as well that we can kind of
jump good,
on.
Oh, good, good.
Different
the
things
first thing
like.
I mentioned, I know, was the an increase in the earthquakes.
Yes.
That were happening here, these very strange little swarms and clusters we're having. I truly believe that because the physical planet, people don't ever seem to want to take that into consideration with things, that we're actually just a giant spaceship shooting through the universe and, you know, on this giant elliptical orbit. And the literal location in the universe that we are in right now, or in the galaxy, at least in the Milky Way galaxy, is a spot that we haven't been in over 52,000 years. And, you know, at the best estimates of mankind going back 10 or 12,000 years, that still leaves 40,000 more before we were here the last time. And
sure.
I really think that energetically, that is a lot of what's going on. That's the push, I think, spiritual push that we're feeling, people are feeling. And I think it also has to do with our planet, our mother here, you know, going through some growth or some birthing pains, if you will. And these fault lines that have been inactive for centuries are suddenly starting to show up again or start moving again. And the seismologists, if you've heard, I don't know if you follow it, but the seismologists are all saying it has nothing to do with fracking. As a matter of fact, it's where the actual movement has been showing up is, you know, totally removed from where they were fracking. So it's not, that's an easy thing to blame it on, but in reality,
yeah.
it's really not what's going on at all. So
I was going to mention that it seems like a lot of people find that an easy target because it's only been occurring, you know, more recently, and people are kind of saying, you know, it's correlating with fracking, so that's something that we can say is associated with these new earthquakes. But like you're saying, I think it is something, there's more to it than what people realize.
Oh, I think so too. I definitely think there is. And I think that there's definite earth changes going on, which we're seeing in some of these other physical ways. The ice is melting in some areas and forming much, you know, the North Pole literally up around the North Pole, the ice is melting. But in the South Pole in Antarctica, it's actually three times more than it has been. So You know, the whole planet is going through a lot of changes. And then you can go into the spiritual side of things and say, you know, that the end of the Aquarian or Piscean age was, what, December 21st of 2012. And that's when the old 2,000-year-old something, I think it was right at 2,000 years, the Piscean age ended and the age of Aquarius, the real, true, live age of Aquarius began. And I have no idea why the fifth dimension was singing about that in the 80s, but anyway, it started in 2012, and it's a very feminine energy, and I think that has a lot to do with why we see so many women suddenly stepping into the spirituality arena also. And I think it's why we're seeing more women involved in politics, and we're seeing this kind of male, aggressive, the Piscean age was very male-driven. And if you think over the last 2,000 years, my God, it's been nothing but war and bloodshed, and you know, so it's kind of, we're really starting to see some of that just in the, I think in the political arenas, you know. Somebody was asking me the other day, and we said, you know, if Hillary runs, she's got to win because it's feminine energy that's coming to fore now. So, you know,
yeah, and
who knows?
That's something that you brought up at the prediction night was that it seems that Hillary could potentially be running for the president position, and so that is a good way to transition into this next topic. You find that this is a pretty likely circumstance that we've been dealing with the next
I think
election.
So. I think that people, well, let me just put it this way. I'm hearing more from people saying, you know what, I'm tired of sending my kids to some desert in Afghanistan or Iraq, you know, to die or get maimed, and you know, I had one of my sons do two tours over there too. So, you know, and thank God he came home in one piece. But my point is, you know, we're all kind of getting to the point of, if these people want to fight and kill themselves, then fine. We certainly can keep them isolated in their little area, and then, you know, just let them do what they want to do, because, you know, why are we killing ourselves trying to, you know, convert somebody to our way of thinking, and that's the last thing they want. So, I guess that sounded like I'm trying to say lock up the borders. I'm not necessarily saying that, but I am just saying, you know, we're all kind of getting out of this war mentality. It's like, you know, a lot of the people that were against American Sniper aren't against it because of the story. They're against it because it kind of promotes this kill or be killed mentality that's driven society for so long. I mean, geez,
sure.
You know, forever.
Well, with that being said, it's interesting to see that if this does go into effect and we kind of have a withdrawal in a lot of the nations of concern and things like that, it seems like with another issue you were touching upon, that there may be less peace in the Middle East, and even some conflicts with North Korea.
I think so. I think that the unfortunately the sort of extremists that are really still caught up in that very aggressive male energy, you know, I don't want to see anybody harmed, but it's like, you know, they're just going to keep, they're not going to stop. And so the only way they will be stopped is, you know, something horrible is going to have to happen. And, you know, the countries, while we talk about sending our soldiers and shooting bullets and these various, you know, limited bombing attacks, if somebody just out and out attacked us or the you know, one of the European countries or whatever, I know the retaliation would just be fast and swift and horrible. So that may be the only way they get stopped. And I kind of think that's the truth. I think that is, you know, I did make the prediction that we would come very close here to a, quote, World War III because of something that North Korea does. But my addendum to that and what I was hoping I got through that evening was that, yeah, that will occur, but in reality what will come of it is everybody sort of wiping their brow going, oh my God, look at how close we just came from, you know, destroying half the planet here. So,
absolutely.
And hopefully walk away with it smarter. But some of these groups, you know, especially the groups in the Middle East, I just, it's very sad, but it's like I just don't see them. You know, I don't see them going, oh, you know what? There is a better way to live. Hey, we can all just be friends.
Sure.
I can't see that happening. So,
well, there is something you brought up. Sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. You're fine.
Well, I was going to say that along those lines, it seems that something else you brought up really deals a lot with the idea that we need to put aside our differences and really look toward coming together. When you mentioned the idea of this space rock, something coming that, you know, could potentially threaten everyone's lives, regardless of what border we're around or anything like that, but could potentially draw us together in a way that we're focusing more on getting through it rather than trying to destroy each other.
Exactly. And I think that that's still a real possibility, that a meteorite or asteroid that came down in Russia, you know, there was 1,000 people injured, and that thing blew up at 47,000 feet in the air, and still there were 1,000-plus people on the ground hurt. So, you know, and that was just, what, last year, wasn't it? I think it was just last year when that happened. And nobody saw it coming. It just came out of nowhere. Just, you know, woof, there it was. So, I don't know why I have that feeling. I just feel like there is going to be something else similar to that, threatening something maybe a little more major, like, you know, a London or Berlin or New York or whatever, and, you know, causing, though, worldwide repercussions. And I really feel that something like that would bring the world together for the most part. Although I still, there's just something in me that keeps saying, hey, some of these barbarian groups, you know, will just see it as a way to try to consolidate their power, and, you know, they'll never sit down and, you know, get it, figure it out.
Sure, and I think that that's something that we're probably, well, you know, you've been dealing with all throughout history, is this constant conflict of, you know, resolution, really working to find the common ground between, you know, varying peoples, but we're still working to do that. And I think that something of that magnitude would really kind of trigger that to go more into effect, where we realize we can't be dealing with these rogue nations or anything anymore in a way that is really just trying to get a foothold of power. We need to work together as a world community in order to thrive and move beyond the struggles of these you know, silly problems. So,
well, I mean, what it really comes down to is when if the world technically the eating, you know, which I know that's extremely Pollyanna right at the minute, but were that to happen, then when a rogue nation like a North Korea or whatever, you know, stood up and started banging its fist or whatever, the entire world would, you know, look at them or point their guns or whatever and go, seriously? You want to do this, really? You know, and if they knew,
yeah,
wow, I can't do this because the entire world is going to be on me, you know, we could probably stop it in an hour, you know what I mean? The point is that everybody is so busy fighting amongst ourselves that we never really stop and realize, I mean, literally, we don't realize the power we do have, which is, of course, what all the spiritual leaders keep harping on, you know, that
yeah,
the planet
course
needs to come together. And the point, I'm not trying to point figures, it's just history, it's really just the Abrahamic faiths that fight. And the main reason that the majority of the world's fighting is over religion in one shape or another, which is really frightening when you stop and think about it. You know, if you took the God issue out of the equation, gosh, well, the entire Middle East would have to settle down. And, you know, I don't know how many other countries, but a lot. You know, that's been our main goal. That's what we've been fighting since, I guess, day one. And isn't that crazy? Christians, Jews, and Muslims, you know? Those are the three that have been trying to kill each other for, what, 2,000 years now.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, let's say even 100 years from now, we will have people looking back and saying, what were we doing?
Yeah, what were they ever
about
thinking? Yeah. Why were they, you know, one religion killing off another because that's what God wanted? You know, what? Are you serious?
Sure.
How can that
be true? And along with that, you were mentioning we'll probably be seeing a bit more of these pandemic scares that are becoming more viral but aren't really as effective or, you know, actually occurring in the way that the media has been portraying them.
Exactly. Well, I mean, it kind of hit me because I actually do come from a background in radio and TV, and it was like, man, when you saw the graphics on CNN and you know, some of the other news channels, Ebola, blah, 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 the country in turmoil, you know, all of that, and then you stopped and go, wait, there's 297 million in America, and there's three people sick. What? I mean, seriously.
Yeah.
There's three. I mean, I'm not trying to diminish it, and God bless the poor man that died. I know that one gentleman here in Dallas died and everything. But still, you know, there's three people. That's, what, one millionth? I don't even think it's that small of a percentage. So why all this fear? I mean, you know, it's like they're just trying to scare
sure.
us again. It was crazy.
You know, I had a friend over in Ghana that was saying all of that was just a big hype, and none of it was really being portrayed accurately according to what was actually going on over there. And so, you know, that leads me to think that all of this is really gearing people either towards things like more vaccinations or just getting more involved in, you know, medical and pharmaceutical industries.
Exactly. Well, you know, my teachers when I was very young used to say this back in the 60s, and I've heard it through most of my lifetime, and now, you know, I'm getting older, so I can think back and go, you know what, this is true. The case is almost always follow the money. Man, find out who was getting rich off of that, and
sure.
there you go. You'll figure it out, you know. And if all they were doing was boosting their ratings, well, then that's what they were doing. But either way, somebody made money off the deal.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, follow the money, and you'll find out where the corruption is. It's very sad that that's the case, but
yeah.
in fact, that is
a very suspicious way of doing business and portraying media. But that seems to be the way
well,
it
exactly.
is these days.
I have a couple of friends in Israel, and they, you know, one lives in Tel Aviv and one lives right outside of Jerusalem, and they both, well, the Jerusalem, you know, that area does have its moments when it gets out of hand, but for the most part, it's again, you know, they go, yeah, we see the news on CNN, and we're like, where did that happen? What? You know,
sure, yeah.
That couldn't have been here. They're talking about Tel Aviv, but my God, I'm here. There's nothing, you know.
Yeah.
But it's also spun up and over-dramatized. I mean, there are horrible people, certainly in that area of the country or area of the world, doing despicable things, but it's not quite as drastic as all of us think.
Well, on that note, we'll transition to something
sure.
a little bit more paranormal of nature. And
mm-hmm.
you were mentioning that we'll be seeing some interesting things over in East Texas, if you'd like to bring up
yes,
some of
that. Yes,
there's
been I don't have all the details in front of me because I really they just wouldn't release them to me. But I have a very good friend who's very highly placed in MUFON, and I know this is starting to sound like. So my wife's friend knows this guy who has a buddy, and you know, I'm not
yeah.
trying to do that to you. He and I are very good friends, and I knew when he went to work for MUFON a couple of years ago. And he's moved up the ladder pretty quick. He's one of their lead investigators now for North Texas. And he has been telling me a lot about there's been a huge flap of UFO sightings out in the East Texas area, especially around Palestine. And it's just very interesting that it's been kept so quiet. The media hasn't talked about it much. You haven't seen any national stories of it. I even watched on YouTube to see if any of the videos made it there. And I think there's one or two, but that's it. And it's supposedly based on, you know that, I don't know the name of the fault line that runs around the Mississippi River, is moving, and there's some other minor fault that runs over towards the East Texas area, and there's movement in that, which, of course, ties in probably to the movement on the fault that's here in Las Colinas and Irving in Dallas. Anyway, and that's they think that's got something to do with the UFOs. So,
possibly so.
But there's more and more people seeing it. There's a lot more, you know, where they had maybe 10 a year, now they're having like 70 a month, is what he was saying. So,
yeah.
And they have people actually out there. Go ahead.
I was just going to mention that I remember you were bringing up that it could be, you know, thousands of people seeing something of this sort
yes.
Happening over there, and that would be a huge deal because we've had a few sightings here and there throughout the years, but it becomes a big media controversy again, and so I think that, like you're saying, if this happens, it would kind of blow the lid on this topic overall.
Well, overall, I felt like it would start there or sort of be expanding from there with a lot of people kind of forewarned, if you will, and that eventually there would be a huge sighting here in the Dallas area, you know, like with news cameras outside, I mean, to where they can't go, oh, this was an idiot. looking at a flare, or that's a, you know, sun sprite or whatever. You know, there'll just
sure.
be too many people. All the major networks will be covering it, going, there it is, look, there it goes, that kind of a thing. And, you know, that would be, you know, if it was in the Dallas area, Fort Worth area, that would be, what, millions, you know, technically could have seen it. So I feel like there's got to be something big coming of that, but I thought I prefaced it that evening with, you know, the government's not going to be surprised, or those who are really in the top echelons of in the know, you know, they already know what's going on. So,
yeah.
And some of this stuff could be ours, too. There's always that option, you know.
Oh, absolutely.
Our technology is far beyond what most people are aware of, so...
Well,
if you keep
so.
In mind, they built the they built that SR-71 in the 50s, and it's still to date the fastest airplane on the planet. So that's what they were doing in
so
the 50s, for heaven's sakes.
Yeah. Well, you know,
on
another note, you mentioned that there could be a strange animal, not unlike the chupacabra, that seems to be coming up in the same area or around East Texas. Well,
exactly, and that actually. I didn't go into all this at the, you know, that evening because I didn't think it was appropriate, but that was actually a dream where actually my friend and I, my MUFON guy and I were talking, and he was showing me pictures. I mean, this was all in the dream. And he was showing me pictures of this kind of dog-like creature that sort of, you know, at least to me, reminded me of like what the chupacabra looks like, and saying that these things have been seen right after UFOs have been spotted. You know, somebody will see a UFO, quote, landing out in a field somewhere, and by the time they get there, there's one of these animals running around. And then
sure.
I woke up, and I've just learned to trust my dreams a lot over the years. And so I don't know exactly if that's going to be literal, but it kind of hit me that way.
Well, we'll
so
get
I thought,
some,
hey, why
there.
Not? I'll put that in there. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And, you know, who's to say that they, you know, couldn't be messing around with, you know, genetics on, you know, animals or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah, and that's a big deal about a lot of the theory of the cryptids. You know, in the study of cryptozoology, you had these ideas of
mm-hmm.
how these creatures could be flesh and blood, or they could be some kind of, you know, paranormal, you know, interdimensional entity or something, you know, even to the extent of being genetically manipulated. And,
exactly.
And here in the area, they often talk about what we call in Texas the chupacabra. It's often referred to as the blue dog. And
mm-hmm.
I think that's kind of
yes.
what you were experiencing. And so we'll keep a lookout, because that would be interesting if it did happen to start coming up around the time of those UFOs. So it's very interesting.
Yes.
Well, on
and,
that note,
you know,
I'd like to see if it looks like we've got just a short amount of time here, and I thought I'd see if there's anything that you'd like to share about your contact information if people are interested in getting a hold of you.
Yes, okay. My website is real easy. It's chuckmurphy.me. I just, it was too easy, so I took it. Chuckmurphy.me. And I do readings, of course, either in my home or over Skype and the telephone. We also do paranormal investigations. We don't go to every single thing we get called to, but we sort them out, and usually the places we end up going to really need it, and then we do a clearing and stuff, blessing afterwards. You know, we have a lot of different events each month. We have a free healing gathering at Miracles of Joy each month. We also have a group that meets on the third Saturday of the month. We call it the Saturday Psychics, or some people call it the Saturday Psychos. And we get together and, you know, for a couple hours one Saturday afternoon a month, we talk about different techniques or, you know, what's going on in the world of the paranormal, whatever. So... everything's on that one page, though. If somebody's interested, just go to chuckmurphy.me, and it's all there.
Incredible. Well, thank you so much for coming on and sharing a lot about what you feel and things are going to be happening over the course of the next year or a few years, and we'll have
mm-hmm.
to get you back on. And you know, there's so much that you talked about. It's loaded for more discussion, and so I know we're on a limited amount of time here, but thank you for joining us, and be sure to check out Chuck at chuckmurphy.me, and there's a lot that he can offer you there. So thanks for joining us, Chuck.
All right. Thank you. God bless. Have a great day.
And you.